gorgeous, darling, but is it art?
Hamish Coleman is a Punaki-based painter whose practice explores the notions of memory and nostalgia through these luminous oil paintings. Coleman uses this unique approach to image making by gathering source material from fleeting moments that he captures on his personal camera. From these videos, Coleman then selects specific stills that capture a kind of in-between moment. Through the act of painting these recorded moments, Coleman interrogates the ways in which memory transforms into nostalgia and how memory itself morphs and shifts through time. In his current exhibition at Season, Whippersnapper, Coleman presents a new body of paintings that continues in his ongoing exploration of these captured moments of time. Within this exhibition, Coleman draws on a variety of imagery, scenic landscapes, horses, dogs, the exterior of a house, and a hand holding a yo-yo. The presented final image, although holding the cinematographic quality, offers something alternative to that of a photograph, an image that has shifted through the act of painting itself. Coleman highlights this act of shifting through the use of interference pigments, resulting in these ephemeral paintings that transform as one walks around the work, asking the viewer to look twice and sit in that moment of the fleeting in between. I caught up with Hamish Coleman about the show and overall practice.
Kia ora everyone, my name's Hamish Coleman. I'm a painter. I've been painting a long time now. Art school was a while ago. I studied at Ilam Art School down in Christchurch, and I currently live in Pornicky, Wellington, where I've had a studio here for about 10 years.
Wonderful. And your current show on at Season, Whippersnapper, presents a beautiful new body of oil paintings. I'd like to start this conversation off by speaking a bit to the beginnings of this exhibition. Did this project find its momentum through a specific idea or technique that you really wanted to delve into? Or rather, did it come off the back of another project that you kind of wanted to revisit and extend on?
So I tend to work I don't really work project to project. I sort of just, it's an ongoing thing for me. And over the years, sort of the cutoff point for each exhibition that I do tends to be just due to a deadline. And so I don't really make like a specific project for each show as such. So it's like a one long kind of continuous narrative from show to show. It's a nice way for me to work. It's a bit unorthodox, I think, for most artists who tend to work project to project. But the good thing about the way that I work is that whenever I'm sort of in between shows, I just keep making, and one thing just leads to another. So yeah, for this show, the consistency between each work, the coherence is probably just due to they're being painted quite consecutively, one after the other, around the same time. So, yeah.
Lovely. So it's almost like the end, or that finishing deadline point of one show is then pulls into the beginning of the next show.
Yeah, it's a really organic kind of process. I would describe it as sort of just like a natural thing for me. Yeah.
Lovely. And the painted imagery within the show has this really great quality of these captured moments. The images have this sense that they were captured in a kind of motion. Do you want to speak a little bit more to where the specific imagery comes from?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, with this show, it's been interesting. Some of the feedback I've had from people has been that the works are quite cinematic, which is something that people have always said, you know, it's very, very photographic or something like that. But I think it really lends itself to candidness in terms of imagery. It's very unposed, very sort of fleeting moments that I capture. Yeah, I think the imagery for this. So I start with taking my own videos on a small point shoot camera that I sort of carry around with me. It turned out to be quite a rural-based thematic exhibition, this one, just in terms of what I was videoing at the time. Some of the images that you see as paintings in that show, they've been on my wall in my studio, pinned up for sometimes years by the time I actually paint them. And so I really have time to sit with each image and decide whether it deserves to be a painting, and if it is going to be a painting, like, should it be a big painting or a small one? Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, great. And do you go into capturing these videos looking to capture a specific moment that tells a specific story, or are you rather just being in that moment and kind of capturing these things that kind of speak to you right then and there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think if you go out, it's like op shopping for clothes, right? Like, if you go out looking for something, you'll never find it.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of, okay, well, you sit out and you think, well, I've got this destination to go to and this place to go to, and I'll explore here. A lot of it's to do with sort of just exploring. You know, stuff that's always just like around the corner from where you are. It's never that far away from home. And geographically, the images are linked quite tightly often. So, you know, I can make a whole exhibition based upon, you know, 2 or 3 minutes worth of film from, you know, within walking distance of each other. And so, yeah, it's not really predetermined. Not really.
Yeah, and how do you go about selecting those stills from the videos, and then how do those go into the painting itself? You mentioned that sometimes they'll sit in your studio for a while. Is that typically how they go? They kind of sit with you for a little bit?
Yeah, because I'm quite interested in sort of, I call them sort of in-between images. And, you know, that sort of, that is something that is not apparently a good image straight off the bat. Like, that's what differs from photography. Photography, like, you're looking at an image and it's all about capturing, like, a perfect moment as such. Whereas I'm sort of, with painting, quite often when I paint them, it transforms into an interesting thing in its own right, as opposed to just something that looks good as an image anyway. Like, why bother painting it? I don't know if that really makes any sense, but yeah, I mean, sometimes I just sit with them for a long time, and sometimes they end up with happy accidents just through the process. So, like, a good example of that would be in the show, there's a diptych that's called Landscape and Stereo. It's the biggest work in the show. And that came about just because I had 2 printouts of the same image stuck on my studio wall, and I was really struggling to figure out how to, like, which crop to use. There were 2 different crops. One was portrait, one was landscape. And I just had them pinned up on the wall next to each other. And I thought, well, that's actually quite interesting, having the same image repeated and then sort of having like a loop sort of thing happen. And I just sort of rolled with it and, you know, dedicated 2 large canvases to making an image out of that. And whether it was a fail or whether it was going to be a success, I was sort of like, I'm going to try it out. And, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with how it turned out. It's quite an odd painting. But, yeah.
Great. So they kind of have this moment where, like, they're between that space of the video and the painting, and they kind of have a bit of freedom or kind of find themselves in those opportunities to morph into something else through spending that time with you in that space, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I realize that, you know, it's quite important that it does change into something else, because you know, that begs the question of, like, why bother painting it? Like, why bother painting an image that's fairly close to the source imagery? Like, you've got to sort of sit with it and think about what the actual act of painting does. And I think that's something that I've developed over the years. And it's quite hard to articulate in words what it is exactly. It's quite like a visceral kind of reaction that I have to an image. And then imagining, you know, I treat every single painting that I make completely different from each other. And I think it's probably apparent in my show, like, you know, you go and look and, like, no 2 paintings are that similar. I treat some of them quite, like, particular. I treat some of them very gestural, you know, as an example. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. And even though you do have these paintings that are slightly more gestural, but they often do, they have this really beautiful rendered quality to them that try to capture these moments. Can you speak a little bit more to your painting process itself, as well as how the process of painting these images affects your kind of memory and kind of linkage and relationship with those original images and moments?
Yeah, so I use a very special type of pigment to make oil paint. which you may be aware of. It's sort of, anyone who goes and sees the show will sort of see what I mean. It's quite hard to photograph, but I use a pigment. It's called interference pigment or pearlescent pigment. And it's a metallic sort of sheen that it gives. And sometimes it changes colour between one colour completely to another. So it's kind of like an effect pigment. And the way that I use it is not how it was intended to be made. I use it how it's sort of unintended to be used. And it imparts quite a ephemeral quality to the paintings. It's a static image that looks like it kind of moves when you walk around it, and I enjoy its simplicity and things like that. I think humans are drawn to those sort of qualities and surfaces and images. It's kind of hard. It's a process that I've developed over a long time, and I still keep coming back to it because it is quite unique, and it's not something that you can pin down very easily. The paint that I use is very difficult to paint with compared to, say, standard tubes of regular artist oil paint. But I like that challenge, you know.
Yeah. And kind of circling back to what I previously said, but do you find that through, spending heaps of time with this imagery and paint, like, does your... that kind of reflect on the memory of that image and how a memory can morph and shift?
Well, yeah, supposedly when we recall a memory, every time we're recalling a memory, we're not recalling the actual event, we're recalling the last time we spoke that memory to someone else. So it's sort of, it's an interesting concept how it's sort of, it's like we're rewriting that memory each time we tell it, and I'm quite interested in that. And you know, when I'm looking at a reference image on the wall and I'm painting it, translating it into a painting, I think something interesting quite happens, you know, where it transforms into an otherworldly kind of scene more often than not. Things that are daytime in the image may end up looking more like evening or nighttime in the painting. It's that concept of misremembering, I think, is quite an interesting one, because nobody's memory is that great in actuality.
Do you feel like you try to keep the colouring quite similar to that original video? Because the paintings still have this slightly saturated, like, video-like quality to them, but then some of them do kind of lean back more into like a slightly softer retelling. Yeah, how do you go about that colour usage?
That's a good question. I think I kind of liken it to, like, old kind of early, coloured animation, you know, think like old Disney and stuff like that, where I'm limited to quite... just a few different actual colours of interference paint. And so because I'm so limited to that, I have to work within my means. And I think that's quite an interesting constraint for a painter to put upon themselves, is to sort of say, in my instance, it's because I have to. And so it's about making, you know, like, for instance, making the tone of flesh, like in the painting, the punchline, which has got a hand in it, and trying to make, like, skin-toned imagery out of, you know, like, three or four different colours is quite tricky. But I'm not using regular paint, so I have to get quite inventive. But what ends up happening, if it's successful, is that it's just all a bit off, and I kind of like that. And I think that feeds into the nostalgic aspect to it. The whole misremembering thing, you know, it's like looking through old Polaroids in a box from, you know, family albums or something like that. It's like, it doesn't look like real life, but it looks like a memory, and I quite like that.
And I also wanted to touch on the interesting choice of support for the paintings themselves. These dark coloured panels that act as these kind of framing devices for the painted imagery, with a variety of rectangular forms, while others have this diagonal notches taken out of them. Do you want to speak a little bit to the decision behind these alternative mode installation for the images?
Yeah, sure. So I think they are technically all on oil on linen, stretched linen. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, they are actually all quite traditional. However, as you pointed out, some of them have the corners cut off, or they appear to have them cut off, and it's an awful lot more extra work to make a painting that's not quite rectangle, I will say. But yeah, it comes down to a little bit of showmanship in terms of stretching a canvas, because it's not as easy to make a big canvas shape like that as it is, you know, to make a small rectangle. But the black that you see on the borders of each painting, that's actually the whole thing underneath. So that's what you would call the ground. So that is like the base layer of colour upon which all the other actual colours of the imagery is painted on top of. Because the thing with this interference paint that I use is that it only really activates upon a dark ground. So if you were to paint on a white canvas, for instance, you wouldn't really see anything. It'd be more or less invisible. It's quite odd stuff. So like a lot of these decisions about like why things look the way they end up looking the way they do is because it's just like you figure it out through the process of making them over time, and just like letting it speak back to you, and it's sort of being willing to go in a direction you maybe didn't initially think of. And I think it's just what happens with a regular practice where you work every day. It starts shaping what you do just as much as you push it, it pushes back. It's quite hard to explain, but just whenever you think you're getting on top of it and you're like, oh, I'm getting the hang of this, like it'll do something and push you right back and just remind you that the more that you know, the less you actually know about painting.
Yeah, it's like this kind of circular dialogue with you and the work, and it's like you think that you might have all the agency, but it's actually kind of a two-way street of listening to your medium, and that kind of more like a dialogue in a relationship rather than the other way around. And lastly, what are your hopes for audiences engaging with this exhibition?
Well, I mean, in a very tangible way, I would love people who have maybe followed my practice through social media on Instagram or just through websites, online imagery, I would like for them to actually see it in real life, because it is very, very different in real life, more so than most paintings that you would see, just due to that paint surface. And it really, it's so hard to photograph. They're not photographic works, or photogenic works, I should say. So, yeah, I would just like people to experience them in real life. I think there's another week or so left of the exhibition. I don't know. I just want, when somebody stands in front of my painting, I just want them to feel something. I think if you can evoke some sort of feeling from a viewer, then it's working, you know. And more often than not, I like to think that with visual media, you can deal in tones, emotional tones and feelings that aren't quite as easy to articulate. They're neither here nor there. So that sort of grey area is what I'm interested in.
That was Hamish Coleman speaking to me about his current exhibition on At Season, Whippersnapper. The show is on until the 23rd of May, so be sure to go check that one out before it closes.